For today's scripture reading, we're going to, everybody remain standing for that. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It'll be on the screen here. I'm going to read it once, and then I want us to read it together. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, 1459 in the Journey Bible. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Let's read that together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is God's word. You may be seated. The book of Romans, the Apostle Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to write this epistle. And in this book, we're looking at chapter 12, and we will be for the next number of weeks. He's urging brothers and sisters in Christ to do something. He's not suggesting, he's not saying, well, you know, here's something that, you know, if you have time to do, you might want to do. And no. He is strongly pressing people like you and me, those who follow Jesus, those who are committed to Jesus Christ, to do something. It's like what your doctor does. You know, when she says, you need to eat 4 servings of vegetables every day. And you're like, are you crazy? 4? I got to eat 4 vegetables every day. And then you're like, can they be deep fried pickles? You know, can it be 1 part broccoli, 7 parts cheese? Is that okay? And she's like, no. 4 good heapings, servings of vegetables. And she's urging you to do something. Something that is highly beneficial. And that's what Paul's doing here. He's pushing believers in Christ to act in a certain way. And it has to do with what he's been talking about in the previous chapters. Remember, we're in chapter 12. We're studying verse 1. We're just going to look at verse 1 today. There's so much in it, let me just tell you. But the first 11 chapters, you know, he's been talking about a lot of things, and it applies to what's happening here in chapter 12. In the preceding chapters, he's laid out an exquisite explanation of what the gospel is, what the gospel message is. And let me just say this. It is the most thorough explanation of the gospel of Jesus Christ at our disposal. And that's the book of Romans. 2 parts to the gospel. The first part is this. All humanity is broken. We're broken beyond repair. We're sinfully broken. And there is a universal need for salvation. We need to be saved. And throughout these chapters, like Romans 3, it says, there is no one righteous, not even one. No one seeks God. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and we fall short of God's glory. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin, what you earn for sinning, is death, a type of death, eternal death. And so that's the first part. And the second part is this, that God makes a way. That's what these first 11 chapters of Romans is all about, that God makes a way. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated his love for us in while we were yet sinners, we were enemies of God. Even in that situation, Christ died for us. And so Paul teaches that the righteousness that we need, that is essential for us moving forward, is through Christ. Through Christ, through his perfect life that he led, that he lived on earth, and his atonement through the cross. But here, now in chapter 12, Paul is now going to move from doctrinal precision. He's been precisely laying out and doing it incredibly well. He's doctrinally led out what the gospel is, and now he's going to bring that into practical application. How do we apply this? It's kind of like us. We just had Easter. We just kind of fought through the atonement, you know, what Christ did for us Good Friday on the cross. He died for our sins. He rose again from the dead. He validated his sufficient payment. You know, it's kind of like, oh, it's heady stuff. It's up here. But now we want to look at how do we apply this practically. How does this flesh out in our lives? And so this is what he's urging us to do. Paul is urging brothers and sisters in Christ, in light of the gospel, to take part in everyday worship. That's what he's urging us to do. Everyday worship. And we're starting a new series. Johnny mentioned it. Thank you so much, Johnny. We're starting this series today. It's going to go on for about 8 weeks. Everyday worship, because we really want to understand, what is that? How does that work? Here's our main point today. You please God when your reverence for Him becomes everyday worship. You please God when your reverence for Him, what's kind of happening inside for God, you know, as you think of Him, it becomes lived out every day. And this is what Paul is urging you and I to do as followers of Jesus, is everyday worship. And why? Because simply this, it's in that first verse. It pleases God. God is pleased. It brings Him glory. It delights God when He sees you and me, His creatures, just really fleshing out the truth of the gospel. And we're going to see it's the most logical thing that we would do. It's the most reasonable thing. It makes sense that we would live in this way. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to kind of address a couple of questions. What is everyday worship? We're going to kind of define it clearly. And then secondly, how do we do it? How do we worship every day? So I've got 2 points for you today. One is a principle, and then one, and then the second one is instruction. So we're going to go here with the first one. So what is everyday worship? Here it is. Here's a little definition for you. You can text Genesis for the notes, and then you can have it right there, or you can write it down, however you want to do it, or just memorize it by looking at it. Some of you have photographic memories. It says this: everyday worship is seeing and celebrating the mercy of God in the daily experiences of life. Let me read it again. Everyday worship is seeing, your eyes are open, celebrating the mercy of God in the daily experiences of life. All right? Let's look at that verse again. Verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, here it is, in view of God's mercy. Are your eyes open this morning? Let me just, can't see. A couple of you are open. In view of God's mercy. That's a key part of this right here. Everyday worship is all about the view. Have you ever seen an incredible view before? Just raise your hand if you've seen an incredible view before. Yes, we live in the land of million-dollar sunsets, right? One of the views that kind of, I'll be honest, it changed my life was when I was 19 years old, I went to the Grand Canyon. And it was amazing. I'd never been out west. I went out west, Grand Canyon, climbing around on rock, doing crazy stuff that if my kids did it, I'd be like, in the corner, you know, kind of a thing. And just incredible. Just the vastness of the Grand Canyon. I was awestruck with its enormity and beauty. And you know what came to me into this day? I still feel the shivers of it. God did this. God is awesome. He designed it. His fingerprints are all over this geological situation here, and it gives me shivers even to this day. in view of God's mercy. So what is that saying? He's not just talking, Paul here is not just talking about the mechanical side of the gospel, like I just shared, like we're broken and we can't fix ourselves, we're sinners, you know. That's a mental thing that we need to understand, and God is willingly fixes us. It's not just that. That's not in view. I mean, it's an helpful part of it, but it's really about when were you broken? When were you broken and you couldn't fix yourself? When were you, when did you see God willingly fix you, come into your life and do something? Reflect back on that. Look back on that. Behold that. For me, I grew up in a very difficult home, broken home, non-Christian home, lots of poverty. We didn't even have a car. It was very difficult growing up in my home. But, you know, God sent people to me. He sent followers of Christ to me that gave me dignity and respect. And treated me with love and shared the gospel with me. They changed my life. You know, God used them. And so this is the kind of thing I think of in my life. I think of what God did to help me to find my way. Because I came from such a difficult background. So it's seeing and celebrating what God has done for you. What has God done for you? Well, personally, don't give me, well, I accepted Christ, you know, whatever. I asked him into my heart and, you know, that's it. What's the deeper thing? Where did God encounter you? Where did you encounter him? And mercy is, you know, it's defined sometimes is when God holds back what we deserve. Like, think of it that way. Like, mercy is God holding back. You deserve something. You deserve something. You deserve separation from God. You deserve alienation. You deserve punishment because of your sins. This is what Scripture teaches us. But He holds it back. He's long-suffering. He's compassionate. He's caring. When does that happen in your life? When can you look back on that and say, you know, God forgave me. God, He reconciled me to Himself. And so, and here's the point. When you open your eyes, when you are in view of God's mercy, when you open your eyes, God can stir your heart. Do you know that? He can stir your heart. Some of us, we're just very forward-looking people. I won't have you raise your hand, but I know some of you because I think a lot like some of you, I'm sure. It's like I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking, okay, I got this to do. I got that to do next week. And here's my vision for the next 2 years. And I'm working on this. And I got to get going. And hey, oh, it's 4:30. It's time to get up. It's time to get rolling. Got to get this thing going here. Got to meet with people. Lots of meetings. Lots of this. Forward moving, right? Anybody like that? Okay, go ahead and raise your hands if you're. This is a confessional this morning. I'm going to do a little Catholic thing here this morning. A little confessional. Is that you? You know, but we're not looking back enough. We're not looking back. We're not looking at when we encountered God, when He gave us His mercy. And when we revisit those things, God stirs our hearts. He reminds us what we're about, like who we are, why we're here. It's not just to make money. It's not just for our own pleasure. There are other deeper reasons why He has us here. I think a great example of this is over in 1 Peter. Peter, one of the apostles, you know, he wrote 1 Peter. And here we have it, verses 3 and 4. He said, he's excited, exclamation point here. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us, and then he says this, new birth. He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance. Did you know you got an inheritance? Some of you are like, I don't have an inheritance. My parents don't have any money. I'm not getting anything. You know, I'm just me. I got to. No, no. If you're in Christ, you're getting an inheritance, man. That can never perish, spoil, or fade. You see this? There's new birth in Christ, a new life, a do-over. You got it. You got a mulligan. Hey, we're in golf season. It's okay to talk about mulligans, isn't it? Do I have to count that mulligan on my score? Thank you. Thank you for that. We get a do-over in Christ. Have you ever deserved to be fired? Have you ever had a job where you deserved to be fired? When I was a youth pastor for 23 years old, I ordered 700 t-shirts for a basketball tournament. We had about 50 kids come. Those t-shirts are still up in that church's attic, I'm sure of it, because I hid them up there. I didn't get fired. I deserved to be fired for that. You ever deserve to be fired and you got another chance? That's mercy. That's God. It means a lot. Does it mean a lot to you? Are you looking back? Are you taking some time? Open your eyes. Open your eyes. And it's like fuel. It's like fuel for you. It's like carbohydrates. Okay? Okay, so we're saying that everyday worship is seeing and celebrating the mercy of God in the daily experiences of life. So one part is in view of God's mercy, you know, opening your eyes so that your heart can be stirred. Now here's another part of it before we move on to the second point. Another part of it, of everyday worship, is directing your inward stirring to be displayed in outward ways. So once you're stirring in here, now it's directing it outward, in outward ways. So let me explain this. Hang with me. There's a little bit of some technical stuff here that we need to think about. Let's put the verse back up there again. It says, therefore I urge you, Paul's urging brothers and sisters, and he's urging them in view of God's mercy. And then he says this, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's that outward thing. Holy and pleasing to God. And then this is your true and proper worship. Let's talk about this word worship here, because everyday worship, that's what we're trying to understand. And let me just tell you this, that in, I've got a slide for this. There's two basic words for worship concepts in the Greek, in the biblical Greek. The New Testament it's written in Greek, so we can go back and study the original language to understand things a little bit better. I'm not trying to show off here. English is less precise in its language than the Greek language is. There's more words a lot of times for certain concepts, and then the grammar sometimes helps enhance things. So it's really, and you can go online and actually type in what is the Greek word, and it'll come up, and you can see passages, and it'll transliterate for you and all kinds of really cool, helpful things. So the Greek language has a more nuanced meaning. So that's what we see here. We see two different ideas that work together for worship. One is the one we commonly think of. It's reverence. We have reverence for God. We feel it inside. We just sing, great is your faithfulness. And for some of you, I'm sure that touched your heart this morning. Your heart is stirred about God's greatness, about His faithfulness, and so you're encouraged, you know, by that. But it's worship. You're contemplating. You're singing about the greatness of God. It's kind of a private. It's an inward thing that you have, and many of us that's all we think of with worship. Then there's a second idea of worship. In both of these words, these Greek words that are on the right there, can be translated worship or something else more precise. And so the second one here a lot of times is translated worship, but sometimes it's sacrifice. Sometimes it's service. Sometimes it's ministry. Okay? And so what we see with this is there is the inward dimension as well as an outcropping of what's happening here. Okay? And so, like in the Old Testament, one of the ways that word is used in the Old Testament, the Greek version of the Old Testament, is when someone sacrificed an animal before the Lord. See, they had these feelings inside, but then they did something. They took the lamb and, you know, butchered the lamb, in order, you know, to make atonement. And so, you know, that's one way. It's like, it's not just feeling something, it's actually, there's something that comes out of that. It's literally worshiping God by doing something. It's outward actions that are congruent with what's happening inside. And that's what this passage is teaching us here. See, worship isn't just coming together and singing here. It is that. It isn't just coming together and hearing a good message and contemplating. It is. It's certainly part of that. But then it's like this next level of worship is like now we live it out. Now it goes into our everyday life, our ordinary life, the mundane things, the regular things that we do. And so that's why this passage says here to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, to present ourselves. Like Monday morning, 8 o'clock, you know, you get to school, you get to work, and you are there. You're presenting yourself as a living sacrifice to God because of His mercy as you go to work, as you drive down the road, whatever it is that you're doing. And that is worship. The heart is stirred, and then the outward actions line up with that. Okay, last thing, go back to the verse, Romans 12:1. There's one other word I want to point out. This is your true and proper worship. Okay, the word proper, it actually comes from the Greek word that we get logical from. So it's your logical worship. It's your rational worship. What Scripture is saying here to us is that outward acts that express your inward commitment to Christ, that's logical. That's living in a logical way. And so when your heart is stirred by God, outward expression makes sense. When your heart is stirred in here, it makes sense to have something out there that goes along with it. That's what the Scripture is teaching us. All right, so let's move on here. How do we worship every day? How do we do that? How do we worship every day? You'd say, church isn't on every day. Well, again, it's not just singing. It's not just contemplating. How do we worship every day? Here's our second point, and there's instruction in this. Number two, stir up your reverence to the Lord and live it out in the ordinary. There it is. Here's the instruction. Stir up your reverence to the Lord and live it out in the ordinary. So let's take the first part of this. Stir up your reverence for the Lord. How do you do that? Well, on one level, we do it individually. We got to think as an individual, how do I stir my heart up? How do I take responsibility? How do I live in view of God's mercy? How do I do that? Well, let's think about it individually first. And we can look back at Jesus and see what he did. So Jesus got up early and he meditated. He got up early and he was the Son of God. He lived a perfect life, you know, and he is leading us the way. He got up early and he meditated. He prayed. One thing that Jesus said that applies here is he said that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the Father. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about the Bible. He's talking about the Word of God. We need to eat, nourish ourselves from the Word of God. We need to open it up. And these are things that can stir our hearts, okay? In regard to God's mercy and what he's done for you. Memorizing scripture. It's a big one. It's a big one to take a passage that deals with something you are working on in your life and commit it to memory. Commit it to memory so that it's there. So in the middle of the night when you wake up with that problem you're facing, you have something to throw at it. You have God's word to throw at it. And there's so many examples of that. For me, though, stirring up reverence in my heart, a big one for me is this. It's when I take my time in studying God's Word. It's when I take my time. I'm not just trying to check it, you know, do the check-off thing. Got it done. Get her done. Got her done. You know, check it off. moving on to the next thing. It's like when I really take the time to really hear what God is saying through His Word. And I had the other day, one happened, and I'll just share it with you real quick. I was reading in the book of Acts, and the Apostle Paul is talking about King David. He's just going back into Judaism, and he's talking about King David. And he just said this in this writing in the book of Acts. He said, David finished the purpose God had for his life, and then he closed his eyes. And it just hit me. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to do the purpose God has for my life. I'm here to finish the purpose, and then I'm going to close my eyes. And it had significant value in my heart, just reading through that, giving me direction, giving me hope about who I am and what I'm doing. Okay, so individually, what are you doing? You know, my question for you this morning is, what are you doing to stir your heart? We can't just jump to all of the daily things without having a stirred heart. That's first. Are you stirring your heart? Do you know what works for you? I just shared one thing that I know. I'm a middle-aged man now. I know what works for me and what doesn't work for me, you know, as far as lots of things that hurt my body or I shouldn't eat that, you know. And just even in terms of what stirs my heart, like, I know this helps me, so I'm going to go for that, okay? Some things are with others, though. This is so important, and some of you are not living in this way, so just take it as a gentle nudge, a gentle encouragement today. You're not around others. So the early church, they lifted together their voices in prayer. It's kind of one of our key verses for the whole year. We're talking about lifting our voices together in prayer. And we really want to see that corporate prayer. That's why we're having next week, we're having worship and song. Please come out for that. We're going to pray together. We're going to have some songs. But that's one way to stir your heart, is pray with other people. If I pray with Dan Hastie, I hear what Dan Hastie's praying. I hear what he's saying to God. I see his relationship with God, and that touches me. I hear what's on his heart. He hears what's on my heart and other people, and it stirs your heart. Silas and Paul. You guys know who Silas and Paul were? Paul, we've been talking about him. Silas was one of Paul's helpers. And guess what? They had a micro group together. We do micro groups here at Genesis. If you're interested in a micro group, text us and we'll try to hook you up with some direction on that. But a micro group is like same gender, three or four people, and highly transformational type thing. And they were in a micro group. They were in prison, by the way. And they were singing songs and praying and, you know, lifting each other up that way. And so there you have it. I was at dinner at somebody's house recently. And the dad said, hey, before we have dinner, pulled out the scriptures, and he read a psalm. And everybody just stood there. Just amazing the ways that we can stir our hearts for God. Reverence for God. I mean, there's way more than I have just shared with you that we could do. But here's the thing. It's whatever is going to help you be mindful of God's mercy. What helps you be mindful of God's mercy? Some of you, you're here this morning, you're watching. I'm so glad that you're here. Don't take this in a bad way, but you're depressed. You're not inspired. You would say, I'm not living as I should. I'm living with one foot in the world, one foot with God. You know, I'm just kind of aimlessly going through. And, you know, diagnostic questions like, are you connected with other believers? Are you connected with other followers of Christ who can challenge you, who that you can serve? Because it's not just about you. It's about other people. Are you worshiping with others? Are you putting God in the highest place with others? Are you crying out to God with others? Those are the kinds of things that will make you mindful of God's mercy. So we're saying here this morning, stir up your reverence to the Lord and then live it out in the ordinary. Offer or present your body as a living sacrifice. Christ did this. He came to earth. He died for us. So he's our greatest example. He came into this space. He died for us, right? Also, though, when Christ was on earth, here's something we can learn from. When Christ was on earth, as we think about our ordinary life and how do we like allow that stirring to go into our normal life, we see Christ, he had open eyes. His eyes were open. We're going to talk about this in this series. His eyes were open. First of all, he saw us and he gave up the comforts of heaven to come down into our space. You know what? He also, his eyes were open. We looked at this a number of weeks ago. The lady went up and put some money, you know, in the treasury, and Jesus took a break. He wasn't just constantly going from one thing to, okay, got to do this now. Oh, got to run across town and do that. You know, over here. He actually took a break and he sat there and he saw this lady go up and this poor lady. And she put in her 2 cents, her last bit of money that she had. And he reflected. So see, he was seeing people. He actually saw people. He saw and he heard people out. He heard them out. You see how that impacts ordinary life? Like, he had mercy. He heard them out, you know. The lady caught in adultery, John chapter 8. Oh, the lady at the well, Zacchaeus up in the tree. Remember that dude? Like, what are you doing up there? Come on down, Zach. Go into your house today. You know, but he heard him out. And so we see all kinds of examples from Jesus' life. He picked up the tab. Remember, what was Jesus' first miracle? Anybody know? Water into wine. Good job. You guys would be great on Jeopardy. Water into wine. That's right. He picked up the tab. The multitudes that he fed. You know, his atonement for our sins. So we really see the quality of this living out in the ordinary. It's selflessness. It's about being selfless. And it's about willingness. You willingly do it. Christ willingly did it for us. Okay, so that's what this whole series is about that we're going to be walking through. You know, we're going to have talks on how to make your bed. No, now we're not going to teach you how to make your bed, but it's make your bed, drive time, 9 to 5, at the water cooler, dinner time, the family fight. Did you know that you can worship through the family fight? Hitting the hay. I'm going to have Johnny and Zach come up here right now. But what Paul is urging us to do is not merely acts of religious duty. That's why I'm really focused on this, spurring our hearts here, spurring them on and stirring them. He's not looking to like just going through the motions. Okay, well, I did that, got that off, check that off my list. He's urging us to live a life that is a response to the profound love and grace demonstrated through Christ's sacrifice. So, Johnny's going to share our next step. Our next step, it's actually our next question, you could almost say.
But this is our next question, is what can you do this week, moving forward, to stir up your heart in reverence towards God? What can you do this week to stir up your heart with greater reverence towards God? I was thinking as you were talking, Norm, about good views, like some of the best views in Petoskey. I think, in my mind, one of the best views in Petoskey, raise your hand if you would agree, is at the State Park looking out over the bay. Have you been there before? State Park looking out at the bay during sunset? It's a beautiful view. Now, here's the reality. I haven't seen that view in a couple of months. Because it's been snowing, and it's been cold, and nobody's going to the beach, right? And as I was thinking about that view, and man, I haven't been out there in a minute, I thought, when was the last time I took time to take view of God's mercy in my life? To really sit with that reality that I don't deserve any of this favor, any of this love, any of this goodness that God lavishes out upon me. And yet I happily receive it. I take it by grace. And I just want to challenge you in this week. What can you do to take inventory of God's mercy in your life? For me, in this past week, something that I did, there's an audio Bible app that will read you the Bible and it'll play music. Or if you're someone like me, Dominican chanting underneath of the Bible while you're listening to it. It gets me fired up. Stirs up my emotions unto God. And that's just a practice that, hey, even this past week, I decided I'm going to do this audio Bible. I think it's good for me to listen to the Bible and to hear God's word come into my ears. And so I just want to ask you, what is that in your life? What can you do to stir up your affections and your emotions towards God? Take inventory of his mercies in your life. Can you take that challenge, Genesis? You willing to do it? Awesome.
Would you please stand? I'm going to petition the Lord together here before we go. Dear Lord, we come together in corporate prayer, and Lord, we just ask you to forgive us. I ask you to forgive me for not looking back enough and remembering all that you have done for me, all that you have done for us, our church, us as individuals, our families. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you that you don't give us what we deserve, but you are kind and compassionate and loving. And Lord, may we do as Johnny has said. May we find the right way this week to focus on you, to look back, and to allow you to stir our hearts so that we will be fueled to do everything that you want us to do. I want to pray, also petition you, God, just for this. These next weeks are going to be, we're equipping the church. We're equipping people here. We're equipping ourselves to be able to go out and be living sacrifices to please you, Lord. And so please enable us to that end, and may you be glorified. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.
If you or someone you know needs prayer, our prayer teams are up at the front. They would love to pray with you. Just have a blessed day today.